Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Eruvin Daf Kuf Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin 9 lines from the top of Daf Kuf Hey. 9 lines from the top of Daf Kuf Hey, you'll notice a house marking, and on the side of the Gemara, you will notice we've written under our Nosei Mivne heading Seder Adifus, the order of priority, Beinyan Mi Nichnas LeHechal Levatzea Tikunim. Who is entitled to enter the Hechal, the closed part of the Beis Hamikdash, where the holy vessels were located, like the Shulchan and the Menorah and the Mizbeach Hazov, as well as, of course, the Holy of Holies, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where the Oron, the Holy Ark, with the Luchos, was positioned in the first Beis HaMikdash. That's the Heichal. Who is entitled to go into that section? And the markings indicate you have the house introduces two deos, shnei deos, and as you go on in the Gemara, you'll notice the double underline, which highlights the conclusion of each one of these two opinions. Now, this discussion is coming on the heels of our previous sugya that we discussed at the end of our last shiur regarding the removal of Tumah from the Beis HaMikdash if a dead sheretz was found. So a Kohen is the only one that's entitled to go into the Heichal to remove it from there. What happens when you get to the Azara? So we saw a posuk from Divrei HaYomim where at the point that the Tumah reached the Azara, so the posuk though was talking about the removal of a different kind of Tumah, was talking about the removal of Tumas Avodah Zorah, idols, and idol-related forms of Tumah, but nevertheless we saw a change from a Kohen to a Levi once you were in the Azara. So coming on the heels of that discussion, we have this discussion. And here we're talking about the entrance to the Heichal to make any repairs that might be necessary. So we start the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Hakol Nichnasim BeHeichal, everyone can enter the Heichal, Livnois, Letakin, Livnos is to build, Letakin to repair, Ulahotzi es HaTumah, to remove Tumah, as we saw in our previous discussion, Umitzvah B'Kohanim, the choice is to have a Kohen do so. Im Ein Kohanim, Nechnosim, Leviim, and as a second choice, Leviim would be the ones if there are no available Kohanim. Ein Shom Leviim, Nechnosim, Yisraelim, and if there are no Leviim, so Yisraelim shall enter. Now, the Gemara points out, Edi V'Edi Tahorin In, Tamein Lo, both whether it's a Kohen, Levi, Israel, they would be expected to be Tahor and not Tomei. So that will give precedence to a Yisrael who's Tahor over a Kohen who may be Tomei. Omar Rav Huna, Rav Huna points out, Rav Kahana Misayeya Kahani. Rav Kahana, his name shows that he's associated, in other words, in his name you see an association with Kohanim. Whether he himself was actually a Kohen or not, that's another story. But nevertheless, his name is associated with the concept of Kohen. So he, Misayeya Kohanim, literally he assists Kohanim. And what does it mean he assists Kohanim? We'll see what he gives precedence, if you will, to Kohanim, and that will become clearer as we go on in the Gemara. The Toni Rav Kana, Rav Kana teaches the following source. Mitoch shenemar ach el haporoches lo yovoi. The posuk says that they shall not enter the poroches. The poroches is the curtain of the Heichal. Yochol lo yu kohan v'alimun nichnosim bein ulam lezbeach la'asois rikuei pachim. Could it be that a Kohen who is a Baal Mum, and we should have pointed out that this pasuk is a reference to the Baalei Mum, to people, to Kohanim, that are blemished. So they shall not enter the Poroches, the area that's closed off by the curtain. So if that's the case, should it be understood that a Kohen Baal Mum should not enter the area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, Lasos Rikue Pachim, to make golden plates? These golden plates were used for lining the walls of the Kodshe HaKodoshim. So, once the Pasuk restricts the area of the Bali Mumin, so maybe they cannot enter the area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach was positioned in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Ulam was the antechamber leading into the Hechal. So maybe they cannot enter that area for the purpose of making these golden plates. Talmud Lomar Ach Chalok. The word Ach is a, in this Pasuk, Ach El Parochas, the word Ach is a mi'ut. In other words, that for avoda, for actual service in the Heichal, they cannot enter. But for malacha, they are mutter. For malacha, for repairing or constructive activity, they can. But for sacrificial related matters, so a Baal Mum is unfit. Ein Shom, so Acholok teaches me, mitzvah betmimim, the choice is to have someone who is unblemished. Ein Shom tamimim, nichnasa bali mumin. If someone is, if you don't have any kohanim that are tamim that are available, so a balmum is entitled to enter for malacha. Mitzvah betahorim, the choice, the first choice would be someone who is tohor. Ein Shom tahorin, nichnasim tamayim. If you don't have a tohor kohen, so then you can have a kohen Tomei enter for, once again, for repairs and construction related activities, not for sacrificial service. Edividi kohanim into Yisraim lo. According to this approach, whether it's a kohen, whether it's he's tomim, he's unblemished, or balmum, or blemished, it must be a kohen. Not only that, but a kohen whose tomei is better than a tohor, a Yisrael that's tohor. That's according to this approach. Ibayalaho, what about the following choice? If you're confronted with the following choice, you have a Kohen, you have two Kohanim, one is Tomei, Ubalmum, the other one is blemished. A zo mehen nichnas. Because in the source, we saw a Tomim pitted up against a Balmum, so we would prefer a Tomim. But if not, so then you have a second choice, it's a Balmum. And we saw Tomeim pitted against Tahorim. But what about a Balmum versus a Tomei? That wasn't clear in the source. So, a zo mehen nichnas, which one of them would enter? Rav Chiya bar Ashi Omar Rav, Tomei nichnas. This approach, it's Rav Chiya bar Ashi's approach, is he prefers the Tomei over the Balmum. To ishtiri ba'avuyra sibor. There is precedent for a Tomei doing actual sacrificial work, and that's in the case of a public related offering. In the event that there is a situation where the Kohanim are Tomei, and there's the need for offering a public korban, so we say, Tumo Hutro Betzibor, that when you have a public related sacrifice and all you have are Tomeim, they are entitled to do the Avoda. Rabbi Elazar Omer, he disagrees with the Rav Chiya approach. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Balmum nichnas. A Balmum has precedence over a Tomei. The Ha Ishtri B'Achilas Kochin. There's a precedent for a Balmum, a level of involvement that a Balmum has that a Tomei does not have. And that comes, that's in the realm of the eating of sacrifices. It is true that a Balmum cannot do the service of offering a sacrifice, but in terms of dividing the sacrifices amongst the Kohanim, a Balmum, a blemished Kohen, receives a portion and eats it. And that's not the case with regard to a Kohen that is Tomei. A Tomei is not allowed to eat from sacrifices. Even though he can process them, he's not entitled to eat them. And when we say he's allowed to process them, once again, that's with regard to the public sacrifices. We continue with the Gemara, focusing now at the end of our Mishnah. And when we learned the Mishnah, we pointed out that it was very vague and you would need the Gemara to explain it. So here's a quote from the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Mokom Shetiru Loch Chachomim, Mishaloch Nosnu Loch. Before we continue further in the Gemara, on the side, under our Nosei Mivneh heading, where we have a topic heading and Mivneh as the structural note, we've noted Birur Shnei Divrei Rabbi Shimon B'Mishnah. We're going to be trying to explain the two points mentioned by Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon had said this, namely, Mokom Shetiru Loch HaChomem Mishalcho Nosdu Loch, Shelo Hetiru Loch Elo Mishum Shvus. This you can see quoted in the Gemara, three lines from the end of the Perek. Those are two comments he made. One is, Mokom Shetiru Loch HaChomem Mishalcho Nosdu Loch. Literally, I mean, that which the Chachomim were lenient or allowed you to do something, they allowed you only based on the fact that it's yours anyway. Mishel Cho, it's from your own, Nostul, they gave you from your own. Still, that's very vague. And then there's a second phrase, Shelohi Tiu Loch Elo Mishum Shvus, that which they allowed that which was a rabbinic prohibition in the first place. Again, this is vague. Now the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon Hechokoi. Rabbi Shimon's comment of Mokom Shetiru Loch HaChomem Mishalcho Nosdu Loch. What is he referring to? Hechokoi. What is he going on? Hosom Koi. So it's a statement that refers to the following Tanaic source. Mi shehichshich chutz l'tchum. Now, this is a source that appeared in the middle of this Masechta, way back on Daf Nun Beis. Mi shehichshich chutz l'tchum. Afilu amo achas. There was a person who was traveling. He was approaching a city, and it was late Friday. And Shabbos set in, Hichshich is the darkness set in, Shabbos set in, and he found himself 2,001 amos away from a city. In other words, he saw in front of him, one amo in front of him, the tchum marker. The tchum is a boundary that exists around the city, 2,000 amos, which represents the extent that one can walk, who a city dweller, that he can walk. He can't walk on Shabbos beyond that marker, the marker that's placed down at the 2,000 amma mark. Now we have someone not coming from the city, but coming from the other direction. He's approaching a city. And he finds himself one amma away from that marker. That would mean that he's 2,001 ammas away from the city. Loi yikones. He is not entitled to enter the city. Let's say, in contrast, if someone Erev Shabbos found himself within the marker, in other words, less than 2,000 amas from the city, that kind of person can consider the city as his Shabbos location, and then have the benefits of walking 2,000 amas around that city. But in this case, he finds himself one amo too far away from the city. He's 2,001 amos because he sees just ahead of him, one amo away, he sees the tchum marker. Well, the Tanakhama says, too bad, you cannot enter the city. Rabbi Shimon Omer, afilu chomesh esrei amo ikones. If you find yourself even 15 amos away from that marker, you are entitled to enter the city. Lefi she'ein ha-meshuchos mematzin es hamidos mepnei hatoyim. The meshuchos are those that measure the tchum, the people who are, we'll call them the surveyors, the land measurers. Those people who measure the tchum and place the markers, they never place the markers exactly at the 2,000 amma mark. They always place them 15 amos short of the 2,000 amma mark. So that if you're walking from outside the city, you're traveling, and you approach a tchum marker, and it's, we'll say like the Tanakhama's case, it's one amo in front of you, you know what? you really have entered the tchum by 14 amos. You're really 1,986 amos away from the city. And hence, you have a right to consider yourself as part of that city and have the benefits of walking 2,000 amos all around that city. In other words, the marker location is misleading, so to speak. It doesn't represent the actual 2,000 amma mark from the city. And the Rav Shimon explained, because when they initially placed down those markers indicating the end of the tchum, they're placed down 15 amos short of the end. And the reason for that is because of the toim. And there are two explanations in Rashi for the toim, but the word toim has to do with those that make a mistake. In other words, one of the pshatim is people that are in the city sometimes will walk and find themselves walking beyond the tum. And if the tum was placed at the actual boundary, they wouldn't be able to walk back. So what they've done is they put the tum marker a bit short of it, so that even if someone does wander beyond that marker and then turns back, it will be someone that really never left the tum, because someone who does leave the tum, he has no right to come back. So that's one of the reasons given for the toyim, for the what they call the mistake. De ka'omar Tanakama lo yikones, the Tanakama had said that where you walk one amma beyond the tum. Sorry, let's say this once again. If you find yourself walking from outside the city and you find yourself one amma away from the tchum marker, do not enter. The Amar Le Rabbi Shimon Yikones, and Rabbi Shimon says you can enter. So Rabbi Shimon creates the impression that he is a mekel, that he is lenient. Let us take a look at the Rashi, where you'll notice a star in the wide lines, Dibor Masi Yikones. Rabbi Shimon had said that if you find yourself coming from outside a city toward a city and you're one amma away from the tchum marker, enter. The mishelcha nosnu loch. They are giving you, in other words, the right the chachomim are giving you to enter the tchum and the city is that which is yours anyway. Shekvar hu besoch tchumo. As we explained, you're already really within the tchum. The Hocha also Rabbi Shimon lemesiv taima lemilsei, and here Rabbi Shimon's purpose is to give a reason that which he says he kones. He's also giving a reason. The lo taima, don't get the impression mekal ani beisur Shabbos that I am lenient with regard to Shabbos issues, Shabbos restrictions. Elo mishelui nosati lo, that which I say. That which I give him, that I give him the right to enter, I'm giving him that which is his anyway. In other words, he's already entered the tchum. He already has full rights to go toward this, to go to the city. The Hocha Nokat Law, and this comment is brought in over here, Mishum Plukto Denimas Kinor Kirmeforish Vels, because of a more recent topic. Namely, the topic we saw at the bottom of Kuf Beis Omid Beis, and which continued on to Kuf Gimel Omid Aleph, where Reb Shimon's name actually appears, regarding the kinor, which was a musical instrument used in the offering of the sacrifices, along with the singing of the Leviim. And we had seen very recently the issue of the string of the kinor. It's a string instrument that snapped on Shabbos. And in that context, there was a machlokus. What are we going to allow them to do with regard to the repair of that string on Shabbos? So, in that, it's with that in mind, the machlokus, where in fact Rabbi Shimon was more restrictive. He said, "You cannot make a knot. All you can do is bow it," which was the expression to make a bow, like when you tie your shoes, you make a bow as opposed to a knot. So in Hebrew, the term is onva. So we turn back to the Gemara. Shelo hitiru loch elo mishum shvus. This second comment of Rav Shimon in our Mishnah, what's it going on? Hechokoi, what is it going on? Hasam koi, it's referring to the issue of the nima, the strand of the kinor, the stringed instrument that snapped. The Ka'omar Tanakama Koshra, the Mishnah on Kuf Beis Omid Beis, had said that you can make a knot. Now, making a knot gets involved with the realm of an Isur Av Malocha on Shabbos. There's a bit of a discussion whether it's a Kesher Shel Kayoma or a Kesher She'ena Shel Kayoma, but whichever way you look at things, allowing one to make a knot in that broken strand is a greater leniency than Shitas Reb Shimon. The Tanakama said Kosher V'Omar Lei Reb Shimon Onva. When Reb Shimon says the only thing I'm going to allow you to do is Aniva. Aniva de lo osi lidei chiyuv chatos shoru le rabbonon. If we allow you to do aniva in the Beis Hamikdash, and then let's say you end up doing that action outside the Beis Hamikdash, so even though you're not allowed to do it outside the Beis Hamikdash, you would still not be involved with a chiyuv chatos. It wouldn't be a Torah level violation. So that it's true in the Beis Hamikdash, we allow you to do aniva to a strand of a kinor that snapped. If you were to do aniva to the strand of a kinor that snapped outside the Beis Hamikdash, that would not be a Torah level violation. So therefore, shoru le rabbonon, the rabbonon allow that in the Beis Hamikdash. Kshira de osi lidei chiyuv chatos, to make a knot, which is something that if you were to do that outside the Beis Hamikdash, that would be a Torah level violation. Lo sharu le rabbonon. Don't forget, this is Reb Shimon speaking. The rabbonon will not grant you the right to do kshira. So, what impression do you get about Rabbi Shimon now? He doesn't seem to be a very big lenient. We look at the Rashi, three lines from the bottom. We have a double star. The Hochi Koma Rabbi Shimon Latanakama. And thusly, Rabbi Shimon was saying to the Tanakama. This is a presentation now of Rabbi Shimon, who appeared at the end of our Mishnah, and we said that Rabbi Shimon had appeared to be rather vague. What was Rabbi Shimon's agenda over here? So Rabbi Shimon was saying as follows, Afapish hikalti b'machshi chutzlutchum, even though I created the impression, and it's only an impression, it's not reality, even though I created an impression that I was being lenient with regard to someone who was found himself outside the tchum, and I said ikones, why do I say that's not a reality? Because the reality is, because according to Rabbi Shimon, the tchum marker was set 15 amas in toward the city anyway, so you have a legal right by letter of the law to enter the city, because you're within the tchum of the city. So even though I created the impression that I was lenient with regard to the topic of machshich chutz l'tchum, machmir ani b'nimas kinor, I nevertheless am strict with regard to the issue of the kinor strand that snapped on Shabbos. The hasam in the case of the tchum mishel cha nosnu loch, that which we were allowing you was something that was yours anyway. You had the right anyway, because you were already within the tchum. Aval kan, but here with regard to the snapped kinor strand, lo hitiru elo shvus. All that we will allow you is that which would be otherwise osur midarabbonan. So in the Beis Hamikdash will allow you to do something that is rabbinic. So that all Rabbi Shimon is saying is that don't think that I am so lenient. Here, all I'm going to allow you is to do aniva, which outside the Beis Hamikdash would have been a mere Isur Darabona. So in the Beis Hamikdash, I can be Mekil. And I'm not so Mekil as the Tanakama, who allows you to do even Kshira. So at this point, as you can see, we have, with the help of the Almighty, we have reached the conclusion of Maseches Eruvin. And before we close, let's just remind you that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. And of course, in the context of the Daf Yomi, we hope and pray that we will be together for Maseches Psochim next time. So with that, we conclude our Shiur for today.